to the latest edition of the Challenge Free Agents Wrap-Up. We are flying solo without our main man, Rob, so it's just me and Allie today. We're here to discuss the 10th episode of this season. So, Allie, how you doing?
I'm doing well, thank you. How are you?
I'm doing pretty well. So, just overall thoughts, what did you think of this episode?
You know, I loved the strategic parts of this episode. I liked the challenge parts of this episode. I didn't so much love the drama in between. And then I realized when we were getting to the end and there were about 2 minutes left and no elimination had happened, that's why I was a little bit bored, because they were really stretching it out to leave us hanging on the elimination.
Yeah, this was definitely the most strategic episode, I think, of the entire season. And it usually plays out that way as it gets closer to the end. And the parting slows down and everyone keeps their eye on the prize for the final. So this really was the shifting of the gears from to heading towards the final.
Definitely agreed. What do you think about them doing these episodes where we see the dramatic elimination in the next episode?
You know, I actually thought they were going to do that early on when Jordan flipped all the cards. I figured they would do the 2P continued then. I actually thought would have been a better time for it. I mean, the people who are watching the show at this point, we're going to come back and watch it next week. Like, we don't need the little teaser to find out what happens between Laurel and Cara Maria. So I think mainly they're just doing it to make sure they get 12 episodes out of this rather than 11. So they probably had to stretch it out a little bit. So it's all right. I didn't mind it too bad.
Right. Typically, I think when they do it, I'm more invested in the drama in the house, so it doesn't bother me. But I really had enough of this Laurel and Cara fight and didn't need to see everybody's take on it from Zach and Johnny. You know, everybody wanted to talk about it, and I was kind of over it. But no, overall, I thought it was a really strong episode.
Yeah, this was a rare two-episode fight. Normally, they end, you know, each episode. This continued on, and it's actually going to be a three-episode fight now that it's a 2B continued. But, I mean, that was the big another big moment throughout this episode, too.
You know, I never thought that I'd say this in the beginning of the season, but I'm not that upset that one of Cara or Laurel will be going home, because then they cannot continue the fight any longer.
Yeah, I think we're over it. I think the house is over it. I think it's kind of going to be good that one of them is going to be sent home after probably the beginning of the next episode.
Yeah, I think my favorite part, though, is that we got to see, like, Zach and CT counseling Laurel.
Laurel is like, when you have to say a phrase, you know, I'm not a monster, you've done something really bad, so you have to, like, contain yourself. And when CT is the rational mind in an argument, you know something's really wrong.
I was thinking the same thing. CT telling Laurel that she could be scary. Like, CT telling anyone that they're scary, like, you really need to, you need to rethink some things when CT's telling you you're scary.
I mean, this is the same guy who's threatened to smash someone's head and eat them. So when he's saying you're scary, I think Laurel needs to do a little self-reevaluating.
Definitely. Definitely agreed.
And I think I'm maybe you're on the same page as me, but I've been on Cara Maria's side throughout this argument. Is that where you've been to?
I mean, is there another side?
I don't know what Laurel's side is.
I mean, you know, she did make one point where she said that, like, just, you know, you can't like me and then not like one part of my personality when we've been friends for so long. But I really think the part that Cara didn't like is just that she picked a fight for no reason. Like, there was, like, that's the part of the personality, is that Laurel wanted to teach Cara a lesson. So I think my favorite Laurel breakdown moment this episode came when she said, over the years, we've become sisters, and this is probably what it feels like to be sisters. I don't know. Like, I was waiting for Laurel to have this, like, we've been sisters, and I feel so bad, and I'm sorry. And she says, over the years, we've become sisters, so this is what it feels like to be sisters.
I mean, I only have a brother, but do you have a sister?
I am a sister. I have a brother. But,
okay. I don't remember I've ever had this type of fight with my brother. So maybe brother sister would be different, but I don't think I've ever had the type of fight that these two have had.
All I want to see is Laurel and Jordan have, like, a fight, because that's, like, what I want to see is their relationship fights. Like, what does that look like?
It must be because those two are probably two of the stubbornest people in the challenge ever. So if they ever fought, I think it would basically be like a nuclear war. I don't see how they would ever resolve any fight, because they would both be wanting to prove each other wrong over and over again. So good luck to them. So moving on to the challenge for this week, I actually thought this one was pretty good. What was your sense on this challenge?
I thought this was like a very Survivor-esque challenge. Like you have the swimming, you have like digging up a chest and then a puzzle. I thought it was like a, I mean, I think, did Devin call the puzzle the Great Equalizer? I think it's like, it was a good mix of physical and the mental. And I was kind of on the edge of my seat. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, I thought this was a great challenge. It was almost like a mini warm-up for a type of final, just very miniature version. But I definitely got a sense of Survivor-esque, too. So I thought it was a very good mix. And I liked the boy-girl combo rather than just the same male combos we've seen over the years. So I like that they mixed that in, too.
I was thinking strategically about this challenge. I think typically we see people doing the same things. Like they'll see what other people are doing and they'll follow suit. This was really interesting. We saw some people choose the guys to dig first. Some people chose the girls to dig first. What do you think was the right call there?
I think the right call probably would be the girl to dig first. Unless your girl was Laurel, I guess, because Laurel's probably the stronger than Leroy. But no, the sense would be that the guy would have more in the tank going back the second time to dig rather than, you know, someone like Devin or Teresa or someone like that compared to Zach, who probably has much more energy going back the second time. So I think having the girl dig first probably would have been the better way to go.
I completely agree. I mean, I think Leroy dug first and Johnny dug bananas dug first. Johnny. Let me see. I wrote Johnny. I'm confused if it's bananas or the other Johnny. No, I'm sorry. Bananas dug first because Devin dug first for their team.
Yeah.
And I was surprised because I guess Bananas ended up pulling it out. But I thought that was an odd choice to have the guy dig first and then let the girl gas out and then have to dig.
Yeah, and it just showed, like, Kara, I mean, I don't know how she was able to even dig with one hand, but then when CT did it, it looked like he did it in, like, a minute. So if Kara was healthy, they would have probably been the ones smoking this challenge.
Let's go back to them picking teams for a second, because we saw a very sweet moment from CT, you know, volunteering to get taken down by Kara's hand.
Yes, this is a new CT. The CT of 5-6 years ago would not be doing the same type of things that he do. I think he's just such more mature and just a responsible person, if that's the right word, that he's just able to keep a level head. And I think he's really just developed like a sister type relationship with Kara.
I feel like we have a PD and an AD, so like pre-DM and after DM, CT. And I think, you know, since DM and his relationship, I mean, I know the fights kind of happened around the DM era, but I think you're right. He's definitely more mature, definitely has a soft spot for some of the girls that he's friends with. But one thing that I've been thinking about all season with these picks is, do you pick strategically to win? Or should you be picking somebody who would throw you in if they won?
It's a very tough call. You want to have a good partner, but I think it's also good if you can partner with someone that you really don't like. So that way, if they lose, they won't have the opportunity to vote you in. So it's very tough. I when I spoke with Johnny earlier, he said that he always tried to make sure like the people that he was close with were on the opposite teams. So that way, they would, if they lost, you know, he would be safe. So I think it's very tough to balance that. That's why the season, I think, has been so good, because even though the politics is not as prevalent, there's a new brand of politics that people have to think about.
No, I completely agree. And I'm kind of a little bit disappointed that we haven't seen that verbalized or vocalized so much on the challenge, because it's a very strategic season. And I don't think we're getting enough of their insight as they're making these choices.
Yeah, we only really get their insight on the deliberation, which is usually, usually straightforward. I would definitely like to see the thinking process when they're picking the teams, because they do that every week. So I would like to get a little more insight into that.
Right. I completely agree. But I can't wait till we talk about this deliberation.
Yeah. So, so we got Bananas breaking his puzzle curse, which I didn't even know he had a puzzle curse until he was talking about it throughout this episode. He's won 4 times. I didn't realize he was that bad at puzzles. But so him and Nani take it home, and then we get straight to the deliberation. So CT and Zach were the two guys up for the vote, and it wasn't as much drama with the girls. But what did you think about the decision to go with CT instead of Zach?
Well, you know, we have a question on Facebook from Evan. I'm so sorry if I butcher everyone's names. I'm sorry. Evan Rakar was thinking what I think everyone was thinking. Wouldn't it have made a lot more sense to vote Teresa into the elimination and bring a clearly injured Cara Maria to the final, knowing that she'll be unlikely to compete at a high level? Mm-hmm. And with the guys, like, Bananas kept saying, Cara said my name. CT has not said his name. Zach has said his name. So I don't understand if he's doing this, like, you came for me, I'm coming for you deal. why he was so gung-ho against Kara and not ready to throw Thor in, which is, since you called Zach Thor, I can't stop calling him Thor.
Yeah, what I'm not sure either. I think the only thing I can think of is that he saw what CT could do in a final last year with him and Wes beating Bananas and Frank, and he must just be gun-shy about wanting to go through that again, because, I mean, he's never really seen Zach in a final, and maybe he's thinking, because Zach is so big, he has to carry around extra weight, that maybe he'll tire out in a final. So I think he always thinking about who he wants to go up against in the end, and I think he'd rather go up against Zach than CT.
And he was willing to poke a stick at the angry bear.
Yeah, that's not CT's bag, though.
Oh, man. I loved watching CT just, like, say, like, he wants me to give it. I'm not going to give him what he wants. He's just like, if you want to poke a stick at the angry bear, go ahead. Go ahead.
It was very Godfather-like, Bananas sitting around a table. It's like, what can you do for me?
No, I definitely enjoyed that moment.
Sure. So the bigger drama was in the girls' vote, and I have a very strong opinion about this, but I'm very curious about you. Do you think it's fair that they would target Cara Maria over Teresa?
You know what? I hate to say that I agree with Bananas, but Banana says, like, Cara decided to stay and ignore her hand. I can do the same. And I think that's fair. However, strategically, I do not understand why a broken Kara is a bigger threat to Nani. Like, Nani's saying Kara is so strong. If Kara did not have CT in this challenge and there wasn't a big opportunity for CT to do something himself, like dig to make up the time, Kara would have been with Devin in the back.
Mm-hmm.
So I just really was, like, yelling at my television, like, how is a broken Kara a bigger threat to you in the final? But what were you?
Yeah, I completely agree. I think for Banana's standpoint, it was the absolute smart move to vote Kara in, because he knows that if there's a vote next time, that Kara is going to vote for him much more over Zach or CT or the other Johnny. So I think for him targeting Kara, it's a no-brainer. And I agree. I don't know why Nani would rather go up against Teresa in the final over a one-handed Kara, when there's always something you have to, like, carry rocks across a log, all this stuff. There's always something involving carrying a heavy thing. And then with one hand, I don't see how Cara Maria would be able to compete. So for Nani, she 100% should have targeted Teresa. But for Bananas, I had no problem with him targeting Cara.
And, I mean, I didn't really understand why Bananas was like the most gung-ho guy all season to go for a girl. Like, usually we see the pair saying, okay, I'm going to back her vote for the girls, and she's going to back my vote for the guys. But leave it to Bananas to trying to make the call for the girls' destination. The only thing that I could think of is, I didn't realize, spoiler alert, if you don't like to watch the previews of next episode, I'm going to bring that up. We got to see that Devin and Zach are in a boat together at the end of the in the final challenge. So maybe I don't know if you have more insight on what the final is going to look like, but I was under the impression that they were all going to be by themselves. But it looks like the guys may have to be with the girls for at least part of it.
Yeah, and I'm actually surprised. I guess that means, are they going to the final with all four? Because I thought the final would just be 3-on-3, but unless they have another elimination sometime next episode.
Oh, you're right. You know what? I didn't even think of that with the numbers. Whoops.
Yeah, and that would mean that the final would be like a full 2-week event, because I don't think the finale is next week. I think the finale will be in 2 weeks. So I think there has to be some other type of elimination at some point next episode.
Oh, so maybe that's what they were showing. Maybe they go to the location and then they
do a challenge.
That makes a lot of sense.
Maybe that's what they're doing. I'm not sure.
But I think it would be kind of interesting if there was at least a section in the final that they do have to have partners for, even if it's an individual final for the most part. Because then...
Yeah, it would make sense because of how much they've switched up the teams all throughout the season. So they probably, maybe they'll do that in the final too.
Right. My math was off there.
No problem. So just going back to that Caravo, because this is just a question from Brandon Lancey. He kind of ties into what I was saying. He says, why was Bananas so insistent on voting Cara Maria into the elimination round? His confessionals seem to suggest that he had a newfound respect for her and was over whatever squabbles they had in the past. And I think what Bananas is able to do that we saw that Nani wasn't able to do is that he's able to separate how he feels about certain people to what is best for him in the game. And I think what's best for him in the game is to knock out Kara, because she would be targeting him at another vote. That would be my presumption.
No, I definitely agree. I think Johnny has enough friends, but I keep calling him Johnny. Bananas has enough friends, like, through this. He's there to get in, play the game, and get the prize at the end. I don't fit, and maybe sell some more Bonobo heads in the process. But no, I definitely like Nani's looking at Kara crying and just completely in shambles. We see a really strong contender just totally fall apart this episode emotionally and physically. And Johnny's just not fazed by that, which I give him a lot of credit.
How much of those tears do you think were legitimate, and how much do you think were gamesmanship?
Ooh, you're giving Kara a lot of credit, I think. I think Kara is an amazing competitor, but I think we've seen her be emotional in the past, and I think this was like she was so close to the end, had every reason to believe she was going to get there, had to fight, got thrown in so many times by the draw, and then just like fractures her wrist on like at the finish line. I think that we saw an emotional Kara. If it was strategy, good for her too, but I don't know that she's necessarily capable of that. What do you think?
I think it was probably like she started off crying for her pure emotion, and then she was thinking, "Eh, maybe I can milk this a little bit." And I guess it worked for a little bit, but not for a while. But I agree. I think it started off just pure emotion.
Well, I also
So,
think, oh, I'm sorry. I just
no.
also think that we see her blow up, like we see her reach her breaking point when she does get thrown in, which I don't want to gloss over because that's an interesting conversation. But when she does get end up getting voted in, she explodes on Teresa. And like, I don't think that that was a real Teresa thing. That was just Kara grasping at straws. Like, she just was spent. And that's why I think her tears were just pure emotion, which I don't think that was so smart of her to go off on Teresa. Kind of a Spencer moment there, but
Yeah, I think that was just pure frustration because Facebook Connie Webb asked, "Do you think Kara was overreacting at Teresa?" And yeah, I think she was just so frustrated about being thrown in, and she was just looking for someone to blame, and she just threw all her blame at Teresa.
totally agree. But let's really get into the I don't know, Sophie's Choice. What was it, a prisoner's dilemma
Yeah.
that they gave Nani?
So this was an interesting. So how let's start with this. How long do you think they went back and forth for before TJ got word from production that he has to step in and be like, "All right, if you guys can't decide, then you both are going in."
That's a really great question, but I am just such a sucker for believing. I actually watched this episode with my brother last night. It was his first episode in like 5 years of the challenge. And he was saying like, oh, the editing, maybe like with the whole challenge, like maybe Johnny and Nani were in such a big lead and whatever. So he's the what is it? The critical one of editing. I totally believe. I think everything I'm seeing is as it is. So it's interesting to think about. I just loved how many times TJ was like, all right, we're gonna do this again. All
Right.
right, we're gonna go one more time. I think you're right. I think TJ, I don't know that they came in prepared to make that call because especially they were united to vote in Kara until Nani seemingly changed her vote right there. So I don't think that TJ was necessarily prepared what the tiebreaker was gonna be. I wouldn't be
Yeah.
surprised if they did that a few times and then TJ got word to just call
Yeah, I was hoping the tiebreaker would be a fire making challenge personally,
it.
but I guess that those tools weren't
Yeah.
available to them.
I would love to see Kara with one hand trying to put sticks together to make fire.
Yeah, she would probably do better than the people on the Cook Islands who was
Burn.
Yeah, so Edward Morris says, "Should Nani have stood her ground since it's who she's going to have to face in the finals and with bananas that flipped?" So what do you think? Should Nani
Yes.
have stood her grounds?
Firm yes for me because I think I was just saying, like, Nani has the luxury of going first. TJ goes to Nani first. Whoever he went to first to make their vote, that's the person who has the power. Johnny Bananas is not Jordan. He does not have the ego, I think, to throw himself in over either Zach or CT. I really think that if Nani just said, I'm sticking with my vote, Teresa, it would have been a hell of a ballsy move for Johnny to vote in Kara and then instead vote in himself and Nani. I just think that Nani chickened out for no reason. She had the power and she should have taken it.
I agree. I think that could have been Bananas' sister on the line, and he still
Yeah.
wouldn't. He wouldn't have thrown himself in. There is no chance that Bananas is going to throw himself in to save Teresa at that point. If Nani really wanted Teresa to be safe and or Teresa to go in, then if she sticks with Teresa, Bananas flips 100%.
Completely agree. Yeah, I thought that was so, I wrote down chicken, go balls in, Nani. That was my comment on the episode.
And I liked how TJ, even when they started voting for Kara, was like he was even shocked that they were targeting him. But I guess he didn't get to see all the inter politics. But TJ was surprised that they would go after Kara. I saw that too.
Like I said, TJ is the voice of the viewer. I was surprised too.
So, and then the best part was when Kara flips off at Teresa and TJ goes, cool, just do this when I'm not here.
I was like, he's got to go back to bed. Do this
Yeah,
when I'm here. I love when he
TJ
does
wants
that.
absolutely no part of the drama. He just wants to show up, see someone compete, and then just get the hell out of there.
Can go back to this. Did you see the after show where they gave you a tour of like what TJ does when he's off? When he's off.
I want there to be one of those like 24/7 documentaries about TJ. I want to know what he does throughout this entire challenge. I love finding out what TJ does
They
off the
did.
challenge.
Everyone needs to go find this. It's probably still on MTV.com. And one of the after shows they do for this, they did like a cribs of TJ's like quarters in Uruguay. And he's just like, yep, this is my gym. So we're good. And then he goes through all of his scars from the challenge. And then he like gives a little dig to Chet. He's like, now Chet's got one too. Welcome to the club.
Oh my God, some of
It
those, it was,
was.
to use a TJ word, those scars were pretty gnarly. Like, I mean, he had like bones like disproportionate. I mean, that guy went through hell and back, so
Yeah, definitely
kudos to
everyone go
him.
find that video. Very, very classic TJ.
So we,
Go ahead.
go ahead.
No, I was just gonna say one more thing about so then we have Teresa flip sorry, Kara flip out. And then Devin, who I listen, I love Devin. I think she's very funny. We've had an argument on who's funnier, her or Zach. But Devin has a lot of nerve to tell Kara to get a grip. Like she says in some confessional, like, Kara needs to get a grip. Devin has, you know, she's been a great politicker and social player. But for Devin to tell Kara to calm down after everything that she's been through, Devin lost some points for me
Yeah,
there.
I was starting to become a fan of Devin, but I lost total respect for her when Kara said she was going to stay, and then she Devin had a talking head moment saying, "I would 100% leave for $125,000. That's how much
Okay.
it costs to get my hand fixed." So when Devin said that, I checked out on her pretty much completely.
We have a question from Gregory Contreras. When it comes to the challenge, people rarely talk about the strategy that some players use. Based on the previews, this is probably the last draw. Still some debate on that. But considering this is Devin's second challenge to go along with her second final appearance, should she get kudos for how she plays the game strategically? And I know that we were just ripping on Devin. Both of us are a little disappointed in her this episode. What do you think about Devin's social game to kind of having to save her from her lack of physical ability?
Yeah, I think for the first half of the game, a lot of that is on her. You know, she becomes friends with people in the house, and no one wants to target her. But after a certain point, you know, kind of like in Survivor, where you want to take a goat to the end, it kind of pays to keep Devin around because you know in a final she's not much of a threat. So if she can get to like the halfway mark, which she does in her 2 seasons, so kudos to her, then she's kind of getting a free pass, I think, to the end, because no one's going to really look to target her. Because why would you rather go up against Teresa or Nani in the end rather than Devin?
How come that doesn't really, we don't see that on the guy's side? Like, I think we have, I mean, Johnny's gotten pretty lucky in not going into the draws last like 2 times. But for the most part, I think we have a pretty strong set of guys. How come we don't see a Preston kind of getting the same goat status as Devin?
I think it's probably just the pure ego thing. I think the guys want to say that they beat the best. I think if it was a game full of bananas, then I think he would be fine taking two Prestons to the end and beating him. But I think someone like a Jordan or a CT or a Zach, they want to go up against the best in the final, and they want to be, you know, this guy deserves it, so he should stay. So I think that's probably why Preston is it doesn't get dragged to the end.
Yeah, no, I agree. One thing with this episode, how many break slash hand puns did we really need?
Yeah,
I
it was
think my
getting a lot.
pun count was at 5, including the name of the episode, Talk to the Hand.
Yeah, and Kara, every time saying, oh, someone needs to catch a break, Kara sticks up her hand saying, oh, I already caught a break. I mean, we get it, Kara. Your hand's broken. We get it. Take it down a notch.
So when they go to the elimination, we see that it's the wall. I know that they were talking about it either being the I don't know the names of these eliminations, like the rope one where they're attached to each other, like reverse tug of war,
Right.
or the wall. Which do you think would have been better for Kara with her arm?
I would have to be the rope one, right? I don't see how she's going to be able to punch through a wall with one hand. I think she's pretty much a dead woman walking at this point.
I mean, we did see the players using their elbows sometimes to like make the holes. I don't think versus Laurel that the elbows is going to be quite enough,
And
but
I don't think I realized how short Kara was until they were Laurel and Kara were standing side by side, and Laurel's a good foot taller than Kara Maria,
no,
which ha
that would be definitely interesting. Definitely a huge advantage in that challenge.
Yeah, and it's unfortunate because I would love to see CT and Leroy in either that balls in challenge or what is it, Oppenheimer, where they have to run around the circle and collide with each other. So it's just unfortunate that we get this challenge, which is probably my least favorite of the four.
I agree. And I also think that this challenge is probably Leroy's best chance as opposed to the other ones. I just don't think any of the other ones that Leroy has a chance, except he may be maybe a little quicker than CT. Although in the preview, we saw CT take one hand. I love this. We saw every other time we see the wall, it usually takes like one or two on the first one punches into the wall to make a hole. They don't realize how hard it is. CT, boom, we see the wall like shatter. So and I'm definitely excited for that.
I saw that and I was thinking back, and I'm giving a lot more credit for Adam for when he took that punch from CT and like not just completely dying right off the bat. So, you know, retroactive kudos to him.
There's a question that that I was thinking myself. For anyone who didn't watch the after show last night, this was probably the best after show I think that they've had. It was a retrospective, basically. They called it, like, what is it, a super fan
episode?
Super
fan, something like that, yeah.
And it was basically just, like, the top moments from the past challenge. So if you're a challenge fan or you're just getting into the season, it was definitely a nice look back. But so Joe Szilard says CT's violence in the past versus Davis, Adam, many times over, and several others. I get that he is a good TV, but shouldn't there be criminal charges on some of this past stuff? I don't know about if I'm going to rule in criminal charges here, but I am wondering, like, why after we got to see the replay of CT saying that he was going to eat Adam, he wanted him dead, and punched him in the face, like squarely in the face. We usually see some slapping, open hand. We saw him punch him right in the head. Why they brought him back? It was a little bit of a Brandon Hance moment, potentially.
It's a good question. I think he was off for a few seasons after that. So I think there might have been a suspension in there. I mean, that's just my guess, because I think my guess is they would want him back. But I think he was off for a couple seasons and only kind of reappeared when he took out Bananas in the Bananas backpack incident. And then I think he came back for the first Rivals. But I think between that and Rivals, he was off for a few seasons there. So my guess is there was some type of suspension.
Even so, I mean, I think if they took Brandon Hance off for 10 seasons of Survivor and brought him back, I wouldn't be ready for him back. I'm glad that we definitely see a reformed CT, so I'm glad he's back. But I am kind of surprised that MTV would take the risk.
I mean, this is also the people that are fine with, Naya attacking people with head blow dryers and all that. So I don't think they really mind the physical violence. Unless someone actually pulls out a gun or a knife, I think everything's fine with them.
Once CT actually eats someone, then he'll be off the show.
Yeah, that's the joy in the line. But once he goes full zombie.
God.
So one of the questions I wanted to get to, I actually like this question from Anna Jose, said, unlike Survivor, I think the challenge does a good job of not giving off a winner's edit. Would you agree? And who would you like to see win? So do you see anyone getting a winner's edit this season?
You know, what I love about it is I would have bet anything that Kara and Laurel would have been in the final together. And so now that we know they're not, like, editing fooled me. Like, we definitely don't see the same kind of winner's edit. Plus, if, like, I know you and I spoke last week that we think Laurel, especially now with Kara potentially out of the game, that Laurel has the best chance to win for the girls. And she's been villainized this season. So I definitely like, what I like about the challenge is that the quote-unquote hero does not need to win.
I agree. I don't see anyone getting a winner's edit. I thought maybe Kara was the only one for the girls, but I mean, if she pulls off this win against Laurel, then let her go take the title because she'll fully deserve it. And for the guys, I don't see anyone really getting that strong of an edit. I mean, Zach, Bananas, Johnny, they're all, I think, equal in my mind. So I don't see them tipping their hand, really.
I agree. And I definitely, you know, appreciate it. I think what we get on the challenge is like the most interesting stuff. So it doesn't matter if this person's going to be gone in 2 weeks or if this person's going to win the whole show. Like, they're going to show us if someone's hooking up with someone who goes home next week, we're still going to see it.
Yeah, I completely agree. Here's just a little fun question that Edward Morris says. What was the funniest moment from this season?
Ooh, what was the funniest moment from this season? What do you think about that?
It's not really a moment, but for me, the entire trivia challenge was one of the funnier moments of the challenge in the last like five seasons or something like that. That was, I mean, I think you don't even have to watch a second of the challenge at all, and you can just go watch that and just be dying laughing with some of the answers and TJ's reactions. It was just unbelievable.
What made that funny is that they're, you know, educationally challenged, or that TJ had the best day of his entire life pulling the rope and dumping them into the water?
I think some of the answers were really bad. Like, not knowing what continent America is in is pretty bad. But, I mean, some of those questions, you got to keep in mind, you know, you are being suspended off a pool of water, I don't know, 50, 100 feet in the air or whatever. So the nerves and the adrenaline are pumping, so your mind will blank on a lot of stuff. But what made it funny for me was TJ just, like, toying with them and mocking them, and he was, I think that was one of his, I think that might have been his best performance ever.
How high up in the air would you have to be to think that, to forget what the national language of Australia is?
I think, I think if I see, for me, I might have just blanked and said Australian.
Honestly, that would, what did he say, Dutch? Answer.
Yeah,
I think
Dutch.
Banana
I
said Dutch.
Dutch, bro. I mean, you might have been better saying Chinese or something. Yeah. Dutch, I mean, I don't know.
I'm going to say my funniest moment, and this is going to, like, if the hate's going to come, let the hate come. But I thought Kara's medical evac, not evac, but time in the getting her wrist wrapped was maybe the funniest medical thing we've ever seen. Just, and then what? And then what? And then what? And then what? I'm sorry. I love Kara, and I really hate that she got hurt. I definitely think that that was a downer this season, but... And then what? And then what?
Actually, Katrin Stutz has a kind of question about that. He said, why was Chet not allowed medical assistance and Kara was? Now, I have a conspiracy theory on some of the medical evacs, but what do you think?
Wait, I love conspiracy theories. Let me have it.
So one of the big things after Kara was allowed to stay was people pointing back to, I think it was Battle of the Exes when Dustin, like, cut his knee and was sent home. And I think the biggest thing, and I think this is the truth with MTV, is that they go based on storylines. And I don't think they were ever going to let Kara leave without being able to confront Laurel and being able to try to pull off her underdog story. So unless her hand had to be amputated and Kara wanted to stay, I don't see them sending her home. And with Dustin, you know, I think that was his rookie year, so he didn't really have much of a storyline then. So they had no problem sending him home. And I think that's really what it comes down to.
I do think that that's very interesting. I mean, Rob talks a lot about that on the podcast about Survivor, that if it's going with the storyline, like, the producers will probably let anything go. And I think we were far enough along in the season that if Kara went home, they probably would have gotten a lot of flack, better to see her fight, and they knew that she would never pull herself out. But one thing to challenge you a little bit on that is with Frank. I mean, Frank is great TV. He's a great competitor. I don't think they would have sent him home. They wanted to send him home.
I don't think they did either, and that's probably why I think he stayed a few weeks longer than he probably should have. I think he actually had a legitimate, like, scare of maybe, like, his lungs being permanently damaged, and that's why they're like, you know what? I think we have to send him home. I mean, I'm not a doctor. I don't pretend to be a doctor. I don't think I'm a challenge doctor, but that's just my counter to that.
The challenge doctor is like the Wizard of Oz. Like, the challenge doctor is like, TJ speaks for the challenge doctor. Like, pay no attention to the BMX biker host who's actually giving the medical advice. Like, he's, I want to say, like, at least on Survivor, we get to see these medics. Like, all of a sudden we see Kara, you know, in an ambulance. And then all of a sudden a challenge doctor says that she can stay if she wants. Who is this challenge doctor?
It's the great mystery. And I hope he gets his own reality TV spinoff.
You know, also one thing I thought was interesting, when I'm not podcasting, I'm working in the legal field, and, you know, I'm no lawyer, but I don't think that that was a binding, like, waiver when TJ said, will you take full responsibility for anything that happens? And Kara says, I'm not leaving. Okay, see, good. That all checks out.
And now I'm curious about that, because I think in the medical tunnel when they were going through her hands, I wonder if maybe they did have her sign something saying, like, you know, if you do a challenge and your hand gets even worse, we're not liable at this point. So I'm curious, maybe they did have Kara sign something. I wouldn't be surprised.
No, I'm sure. I mean, they must sign so many waivers and everything like that. But just, it was so funny to me that TJ takes off his doctor hat, puts on his lawyer hat, and says, like, we're not responsible.
I can see that going to a court, and they go, but Your Honor, look at the video. She says, I'll be fine.
Also, I broke my arm in third grade, so I don't know if things have changed since then in the medical profession. But why is Kara not in the cast? Why is she just randomly wrapping it whenever, when she has a fracture?
It's a great question, and I have absolutely no idea. She's wrapping it like a paper towel, and she has a broken hand, and she's running out and digging and doing all this stuff and about to be punching through a wall. So it's a great question, and I don't have a good answer.
I also thought, they have waterproof casts, or even like an old newspaper bag makes a really good waterproof cast bag, but she's like wading through the water with it in the air. Like, I thought if she can't even swim with it on and get it wet, I mean, I hope she makes it to the final so we get a look at that.
And she wasn't even a good swimmer to begin with. That was always her weakest quality. So now that she only has one arm to swim with, they really let it send out a life raft for her if she makes it to the end.
I have two questions from Edward Morris, so I'll ask them separately. I'm interested in hearing what you think about this. Is this the best concept the challenge has ever had?
I think this is the best executed concept. I think my favorite concept going in was Rivals. I love the idea of partnering people that you hate. I love that idea. But the problem that I've always had with the Rivals is that immediately people get over, well, not everyone, but for the most part, everyone gets over their past squabbles and then they find the way to work together. You know, we even still like Bananas and Frank. I think the better way to do it is if you do a Rivals season, you have two teams and you put Rivals on the opposite team. That way they target each other and really go at each other rather than partnering with each other, because otherwise they're just going to be friends with each other. But I think the draw is the best thing the challenge has done in quite some time.
I was going to say, I like don't know if I'm ready to go back. I mean, we've gotten some questions about what we think is coming next, and you talked about speculation of an X's season, but I don't know if I can ever go back from this draw. I think it's made for the most interesting eliminations, for the most interesting episodes, where it's not just, you know, the weak or the people who aren't in the friend group getting voted in every single time.
Like, I love it. I love it.
How else would we see like CT and Bananas like getting thrown in? Because I think that this like free agents setup from the draw to just everyone being individual has made it so like if two people win who aren't in the cool alliance, like they can have total control of throwing someone in. So I've really enjoyed this format. I think it's probably been my favorite that I can remember, but I'm willing to argue with people about it. So definitely let me know if you think, if you have a different favorite format.
No, I agree. It's almost like when Survivor added the immunity idol in. It's like just such a cool new concept that just adds a whole new layer to the game that it's going to be tough to go back from. So hopefully they won't have a Tyler Perry draw at some point.
if Tyler Perry came up with the draw and is texting TJ Lavin at 4 a.m., then I will write TJ. I will write Tyler Perry a personal thank you note, because this was fantastic. Whoever came up with it, Tyler Perry or Medea herself, thank you.
Yeah, they deserve a raise.
So Edward Morris part two, who has been missing in action that needs to come back? Who have we not seen in a while that, if anyone, that you'd like to see back?
Well, the two that I want to see back, and I don't know if we are ever going to see them back, are the other parts of the JEK dynasty, and that's Kenny and Evan. But I'm worried that they may be permanently banned, but I'm hoping that's not the case. We saw Kenny on the after show yesterday, so maybe there's some hope. But those are the two for me that I would love to see back.
I was going to say, the rumor mill has it that Evan and Kenny, you know, are kind of shunned, like you said, but they've used Kenny quite a lot in hosting stuff. I mean, not quite a lot, but a few times. And so he must still have a decent relationship with them. I know I listened to your interview with him on Bus Driver's Route, and he said he thinks he's done.
Yeah, unfortunately.
But, no, I would love to see Kenny back. The person I would not like to see back, Johanna, was not that impressed with her on the after show. She, for anyone who didn't watch, she co-hosted with my girl Snooki, my fellow Jersey girl Snooki.
Oh, it's Snooki.
And then Kenny and Johanna. What do you think about Johanna?
Yeah, I think that, well, just talking about that after show quickly, I think the most disappointing thing for me was when they did the top three hookups, that they didn't put the hookup between Kenny and Johanna in there. I mean, they're both right there. How do you not show that clip and then cut to them? It's like the perfect opportunity that they missed.
Fans voting.
The network never manipulates fan voting. That's blasphemy.
My biggest issue was that for best fight, they called it fightiest fight. could they get a little bit more creative? Best fight, I think, would have been better. Give me a job. Best fight.
Yeah, I'm guessing the people came up with the draw. We're not coming up with the names for this this after show.
All I wanted, after I watched Fightiest Fight, I want to know, where is Katie now? I have to look into that.
They really need to do a Where Are They Now with some of the old school Challenge Road Rules people. That would be, I would watch that.
Well,
that
I
would be
love,
fantastic.
thank you, Brian from New Orleans, not this Brian, but another Brian from New Orleans, who asked, like, what are your real jobs?
It's a great question.
And we had Kahuto, who manages a band, Camilla, who owns a store in Miami, Devin, who works with Marie at ZocDoc, Kara, who does arts and crafts, and Nani, who's a bartender, and Zach, who makes his money at bachelorette parties. So I wrote stripper, question mark.
Maybe he's a party host. You know, it doesn't have to be that bad.
Listen, I think he goes with his hair Thor and makes money at bachelorette parties. So good for him. But I like that we got to see like some people who are like, you know, I bartend, and Devin, who works at ZocDoc. So I thought that was very interesting. So thank you, Brian from New Orleans.
Definitely. I always love finding out what they do on the non-challenged parts of their lives. Like, do they have a living? Do they do, what do they do? So I'll always love those questions.
Hello?
So.
Oh, I'm sorry. I think I lost you for a second. We're back.
Oh, all right. We're good. We're good. So do you have any more questions on your end? Because I think we got this fully covered.
I think so, too. I'm really excited to see the eliminations play out and looking forward to next week.
Yes. What do you think? Who's your prediction for the final? What do you got?
I think, well, I'm interested to see what happens. If there's another challenge and Devin and Zach are partnered together, I'm a little bit worried about Zach, especially where we see they have a boat flip over. I say Laurel wins this elimination. I say CT wins his elimination. And we have my power ranking still in play.
Still in play.
We have Zach, Bananas, and you know what? I actually had Johnny going to the final over CT. But wow. I'm going to change that. I'm going to say Zach, CT, and Bananas, final three, Laurel, Devin, and Teresa.
I have to say, I was actually very impressed with Nani this week, so I think she's got a chance to get into the finals. I think she gave a good showing, so.
All right,
I think she can get in there.
EVU, Teresa versus Nani.
Oh boy, it's the battle of the Gonzalez's.
So I just want to say thank you to everyone who sent your questions. It's been really fun to engage with you guys on Rob Has a Website.com. And on Facebook. So keep the comments coming.
I think RobHasAChallenge.com is a
RobHasAChallenge.com.
So it's a nice catchy ring to it.
Yeah.
Absolutely. It was good hearing you all from Twitter and all that stuff. So definitely keep that all coming.
And then you can follow me at LashTweets.
You can follow me at BusDriversRoute and subscribe so you don't miss anything. You can go to robhasawebsite.com/challengeitunes, and that way you'll never miss an episode of us discussing the challenge free agents.
And plug your interview with Kahuta.
Yes, you can check out that. Go to robhasawebsite.com, you'll see it there. Or if you're subscribed, you'll pop up right for you. And I should actually be talking to, I think, Teresa at some point this week.
Well,
no,
you should tell her that I'm rooting for her and you're not.
I didn't say I was not rooting for her. I'm just saying I think Nani was very impressive, so I think she's got a good showing. I'm very pro Teresa. Don't be shunning my name with her. So I think that'll do it for this week, so keep coming back. And Allie, have a good weekend. We'll see you all next week.
You too. Great talking to you.
Bye.
Bye.